For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 222, goddamn, of MSR Cast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry, the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean, the Metal Pigeon.
The first thing I want to say to you, sir, is splish splash. I was taking...
a bath.
Exactly right.
I cringed when I said that, too.
I set it up for you, and you're just like... Knocked it out of the park.
You know, it's we've been coming up on this 222 thing for a while. And I was like thinking like, wow, how long has it been since 111, episode 111? You know, how many years have elapsed, you know?
I bet you we could find out by Googling it.
The hope is that the time we get to episode 333 will be shorter in years than it was from 111 to 222.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's a little show reminiscing.
that's all you're going to get.
Speaking of a bath, the second album.
April 2nd, 2011 was episode number 111. You know what that was?
2011?
Yeah.
Jesus. What was that?
It was a Stradivarius interview.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
With Mr. Kotopelto?
Yep.
Cool. I think I might remember that one.
Yeah. Timo Kotopelto. I remember this. Fun.
The other Timo is a very interesting follow on Facebook if you want to.
No, I just listen to his music. I sort of like the new album. There's some fun stuff on it.
I like the new Timo Toki album. It's just good fun. We played it on the last episode.
We did. I've been listening to it a little bit more.
Yeah. But anyway, back to another Scandinavian metal guy, Abath.
Yes.
Or Abath.
Abath.
the second, did you listen to this album?
Yes and no, not fully paying attention to it, but I've had it on in the background a few times.
I've been really interested to hear how this would turn out. You know, I was kind of like half and half on the first, on his first solo album. I thought that like some of the stuff was like very cool, like the first three songs. And then a lot of it was just kind of like, this sounds more rock and rollish than I kind of want him to go. I appreciated that he had that influence in there, but sometimes I just felt like it was too schlocky.
Mm-hmm.
What I hoped is that roll. Yeah. What I hoped is he would tighten it up for this album, and he did. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out in the way that, you know, like to create like ultimately memorable songs.
Yeah.
But he did kind of bring a little bit more of the darkness and the black metal kind of approach here, scaled back on the kind of black and roll stuff. I don't know when he started writing this album, if he had heard the new Immortal album or if even something was that, you know, that entered his mind. But mm-hmm. I feel like that had to have pushed him a little bit just in the way this thing was mixed and the way the attack is on a lot of it. I don't know if it's fair or unfair to compare the two, but I gotta say I enjoyed the new Immortal album just so much more than this. And I'm sure a lot of people were going, yeah, that is unfair to compare. It's a year apart. That album was on my top 10 list last year. I still listen to that album. This one, am I going to listen to it a year from now? There's not a song on here. My favorite song is Scythewinder.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
the one we played,
the one we just played, and it's got some good memorable riffs like towards the middle, the middle and the second half of the song. There's a couple songs right there before it gets to the Scythewinder where I just kind of tune every time I listen to the album, I tune out, and I have it starts out really good, it kind of goes to this big lull, and then it picks up at the end, and it's been a hard album to listen to and really wrap my head around. I still haven't been able to write a review for it. I think it needs more time, but I don't know. I guess I like it more than the first record. I think the new Immortal album smokes it, and it's just not even close. But, you know, it's another Abath album, and the guy has great riffs. Sometimes I wish he would remember that the reason why we love him so much is because he really was a master of writing the catchy riff.
Definitely.
When you think back to some of those riffs on Sons of Northern Darkness, there was not a lot of complexity going along on some of that stuff. It was just like motifs that he would repeat, and they were just so addictive, you know. And I don't know. Sometimes it seems like he's overwriting the riffs on this album. I'm having a hard time trying to come to terms with what he's doing right now. But it's an interesting transition album, I think, for him right now, because it's like him going back to a black metal style.
So the album is called Outstrider. Just came out July 5th on Season of Mist. Features Mia Wallace in the band on bass.
Yeah, with new lineup, I think, everyone, right?
You know who she is?
No.
She was not in Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Is that, I don't never watched Pulp Fiction.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. People always give me that reaction.
You've never seen Pulp Fiction?
And for a while, I was like ashamed of it. I was like, oh, I really should get around to watching this movie. And then someone once told me, like, no, you don't need to watch it.
No, you do need to watch it. What are you talking about? We're going to stop now, go take a break, and make you watch it.
I've heard conflicting things now, but I'll get around to it. Is that name a reference to it?
Yeah, she's one of the lead characters. It's Uma Thurman's character.
And that's her stage name?
Whoever. What do you mean?
The person in the band?
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting choice.
I don't know if it's a real name or what, but who knows?
Yeah.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell is Pulp Fiction? Have you watched any other Tarantino movies?
The Kill Bill. I like Kill Bill.
Yeah, okay. They're okay. Kill Bill's okay.
I don't know. I don't.
You ever
really
see Reservoir Dogs?
Yes, I did. I did like that. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you gotta see Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
that's one of those movies when it comes on TV, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna stop and watch the whole damn thing.
I guess I just don't. I've never caught it. You know, I figured it's one of those movies where it's like, it's so popular, everyone, it'll be on
I'm going to let you borrow the DVD. You got to watch it. This is live on, people are going to hear this.
Okay.
You're going to watch it, and we're going to talk about it the next time we do an episode.
What if I hate it?
Doesn't matter.
You're off the podcast.
No. It doesn't matter if you like it or hate it. If you hate it, that's your opinion, but at least got to watch it.
You know, I don't hate movies. The worst I'll really ever feel about a movie, for the most part, is just like, it was a waste of time, you know? The only movie I actively hated, I mean, I hate this movie, is, because I feel like it robbed some of my life, is the Billy Something's Long Halftime Walk, that movie that was done by the same director who did Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
And that's the only reason I watched it, because I was like, well, Brokeback Mountain is a pretty damn good movie. This guy directed this, I think, Ang Lee or whatever. And so this movie, Bill, it was up with a soldier who's at he's being honored at the halftime ceremony of a football game.
This sounds familiar.
Billy Something Something's Long Halftime Walk. Worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. It was garbage. And when I was watching the movie, I felt like, am I watching garbage? And I see.
Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
I was so like, I was an hour into it. I'm like, well, let me finish it. Maybe it's got a great ending. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have a great ending.
Here's that movie.
Don't ever watch that movie. It's a fucking waste of time.
Here's that movie coming out with Will Smith, where he's like a young Will Smith and an older Will Smith. The young Will Smith goes back, is like a replica or something. He tries to kill the older one. Looks pretty interesting. Called Gemini Man.
Okay.
It looks pretty cool. A little science fiction-y.
Hmm.
But that's not, this is anyway. Imitarcast. Yeah, yeah, we're off a tangent now.
So
I was taken aback by that whole.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's my summation on Abbath. I'm sure that by the time I write a review, my opinion will have changed. But
yeah, I'm definitely interested in reading your review.
The that was like my big headliner for Joel, and I gotta tell you, like, I'm looking forward to the stuff you have on our playlist tonight, because I don't know about you, but it's been a little dry for these past few weeks, like new music wise. Like, Abbath was the headliner for me. Torelli Leone Rhapsody was the other one. And then other than that, it's been like, I was like searching for new stuff, for stuff that's under the radar, stuff that other people were recommending. And I don't know if it's just me, but I was like, for the past like week and a half, anything new I've tried to listen to, it's just fallen flat for me. And I feel like every time we do these podcasts, I come in here and I'm like, oh, wow, I got surprised by this. Oh, I got surprised by this. I didn't expect this to be so good. And it's just like always, this is the one episode in the first time in a long time where I'm coming in here going, I don't know, it's kind of sucked lately. And it's been kind of dry.
I don't know if it sucked, but
it sucked for me.
Okay.
The past few weeks, ever since we did the last episode, like the last album I was genuinely excited about was that Aphenamer record that was going on and on. And I listened to it so much that I forced myself to stop listening to it because I'm afraid I'm going to wear it out. And I don't want to do that to it.
I actively search out new releases. So I make different playlists and stuff. Like, I found one of the bands that we're going to play today just by making a playlist of all the Death Doom that came out this year.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, I don't want to miss anything or, you know, if I listen to it, it doesn't catch me, I can move on. But at least I've tried. We're going to get to that band, but let's talk about Trujillo Leone, Luca's new version of Rhapsody.
Yeah. I don't know what mock Rhapsody this is. It doesn't really matter at this point.
Which version of the band is this? Let's try to figure this out. There's now Luca Turilli or Turilli Leone,
and then there's Rhapsody of Fire.
And then there's Rhapsody of Fire. Isn't there? Is that it?
No, that's it.
Okay, so this version of this is basically Luca Turilli's Rhapsody with just Fabio singing on it.
Yeah, it's like,
but
it's
he
like,
was singing on it before, but now it's,
well, because Luca Turilli's Rhapsody had that Prometheus album come out.
Yeah,
that had a different singer on it, I believe. It didn't have Fabio Leone. That was just a few years ago. Strapoli's still in the other one. He's the main guy in Rhapsody of Fire. He's kind of like the he's kind of like Halloween, I guess, after Kai left, you know. But
Speaking of, they announced that there's going to be a full live Blu-ray coming out.
Oh yeah, the Pumpkins United. Excited, that's cool. Yeah, I expected that to happen.
Apparently, it's not just a touring thing or that one song, but the next album, it's going to have, I don't know if Kai Hansen's going to be involved, but Michael Kiske and Andy Darris are both in the band. They're in the band now, which is weird. They have two vocalists.
That is strange.
I was always hoping that Anthrax could do that with John Bush and Belladonna, have them, because they did that one song together,
yeah,
which was a cover, which wasn't very good. But if they could have done an album together, that would have been fucking amazing.
I think that you need Hansen on board if you're going to really make this, sell it as a reunion album. Because even though,
I don't know if he'll sing, though.
No. Just as a songwriter and guitarist.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, the thing with Keeper One was that Hansen, because what's it? Oh, God. Why am I forgetting the other guy's name? The other main guitarist in Halloween.
Wycath, Michael?
Welkiath.
Wycath?
Wycath.
How are you saying
that? So Wycath was injured or something,
yeah,
as the story goes, during Keeper 1, or he had some problem. So Hansen actually wrote most of that record. Then for Keeper 2, that was Michael's record. He pretty much wrote most of it, except for, like, I Want Out, which was still, to my recollection, that was still all Kai Hansen. But so that was like that weird, you know, that division, but it was still linked together. It still sounded like one whole recording session almost, even though those two albums were recorded at different times. I just think that to me, both of those guys signify that. Like, you need a little bit of that thrashy element that Kai Hansen had. Hansen was always a thrashy guy. Wekiath was, however you say his name, was always kind of like the more streamlined, melodic guy, the tight, clean-sounding guy. And it's that kind of combination of the two that, to me, is that Halloween sound. And I think on, like, you know, if you're gonna bring Kiske back on board, you want to have both songwriters write to that effect.
Because, well, agreed, yeah.
Yeah.
Still one of the best shows of my life I've ever seen.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, it was so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll look forward to anything they write. I guess my concern being that the last few Halloween albums haven't moved me that much, you know? And agreed. I'd be more interested in seeing what, like, I really enjoy Unisonic. So I like Kai Hansen's writing still. Yeah. So yeah, I'll be interested. I hope he's on board with that.
I'm sure. I think he is.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this Rhapsody album. Tell me about it.
I gotta say, like, so this is a different style of Rhapsody because it's not very, I don't think it's really at all a fantasy entrenched sort of album.
It's more AOR, isn't it?
This is more science. Well, theme wise, it's more science fiction, not even science fiction. It's more just like, it's more inspired by, like, science and somewhat science fiction things. It's very modern in that sense. And I hate the word modern applied to metal because it brings all sorts of negative baggage with it. I don't mean the sound, but I do mean the sound at the same time. It doesn't sound like, you know, your older brother's Rhapsody albums. It sounds very surprisingly aggressive, really smartly written.
I'm looking at the album cover now. It's like female sort of turning into a DNA strand.
Yeah, like it's very much in that kind of science-y thing, like theme-wise. And the sound is kind of built to reflect that. So there's not any type of narrations or grandiosity in that sense. It's very much a future-leaning album.
Oh, and the Josh Groban cover on the album.
Is there a Josh Groban?
Apparently.
Well, I guess that'd be okay. What's the song?
Oceano?
I don't know that song.
I don't either.
I do know some Josh Groban songs.
I don't know if I do. I know that one. He's something in a commercial or something.
One day I was like, a long time ago, I was watching a PBS thing he was on. Just like, I see this guy sing. And I was like, damn, he was actually really good. It was like somewhere in Italy or something. Anyway, so I actually like this album a lot, and I sort of liked the a little bit of Prometheus. I kind of like the direction he was going in. It just seems like this is the kind of path he wants to lean towards. I think there is a danger in going down this path too much, which is what happened to Camelot, where
story took over more than the songwriting.
I don't want to dive into Camelot, but just the main criticism with Camelot.
You always want to dive into Camelot.
The main criticism that I can say with Camelot is that they have taken this image around their sound, which is all modern and futuristic and science fiction stuff, and let it completely take over their entire songwriting direction.
Yep.
To a point where they're just running out of ideas, and maybe you should go back to the past, look back towards your more medieval-inspired stuff or tinge stuff, and rejuvenate your sound with that.
That's what Arjun can do, because he can go back and forth between all these different time periods and songwriting styles, because some of it is in the future, some of it's in the past, but it's all part of this big storyline that he created. He's able to do it easily.
Right. Yeah.
And he has there's a reason and there's a way out for him to do something like that, you know?
Right.
I can see where Camelot's like, okay, we're going to write this style now. We're talking about science and futuristic stuff. How do we jump back to medieval stuff?
A better example would be like Metallica, which is really easy to understand because everyone knows what Load and Reload sound like. Saint Anger, the weirdness of that album. Death Magnetic was kind of like half baked, and then you get to the new album, Hardwired, and you're kind of like, oh wow, when they just with the NBA buzzer going on back here,
right? Three pointer.
When you just inject a little bit of that thrashiness, of that old kind of aggression back into the mix, how much it brightens up your sound. So, again, I think this is a great album by these guys. It's really of the moment.
Please don't mention Metallica again.
But this sounds very of the moment and very strikingly different to hear Fabio Leone in this context, even with the Angra stuff in mind. That being said, I don't know if he could strike lightning in doing this a style twice in a row. So the next one, I would have reservations about going into. And maybe that sounds unfair, but I feel like I've been around metal long enough to know to predict these things. Like, it's just a feeling I have. But that being said, holy shit, this album's really good. Everyone owes it to themselves. If you even like power metal a smidge, you owe it to yourself to check this out. Just give it one spin through and see what you think.
I need to listen to it more.
It's very accessible, especially this song. It's like really catchy. The use of female vocals in the record is really well thought out. And like, it's surprisingly heavy too. Like, okay. There's a surprising gravity to the whole thing. You're like, wow, this is.
Well, let's check it out.
Yeah.
This is DNA. Demon and Angel from, gosh, it's fucking long. Everything's long.
Heck of a title there.
Terrilli Leone Rhapsody from the album Zero Gravity, Rebirth, and Evolution. God damn, guys. All right, check it out.
You know, sometimes I like a little decadent treat for myself when I'm a good boy.
We had one earlier.
Okay, so the band's name is Decadent with a K.
Yes.
And when I first saw the album title, I was like, the Newman Ordeal? And my first thought was to Seinfeld.
Newman.
Newman.
It's Nemean.
The Nemean Ordeal. The song we just heard was Shepherd of Stars. That was weird. That was a weird mix.
When I first heard this band described to me, atmospheric black metal with the songwriting of Devin Townsend.
Yeah, no, I hear that, definitely.
I definitely hear that.
I mean, because there's parts of it where I wanted to say that if it wasn't for the tempo, I would think that was like doom metal or some sort of weird doom metal amalgam with like black metal stuff.
There's a little bit of that, yeah.
It's just the tempo was throwing me off. That was atmospheric, but at the same time, it didn't have any of the plodding nature that a lot of atmospheric stuff metal has, like black metal especially. Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know what to make of it. I'd have to hear it again.
Yeah, check out the full album.
Yeah,
it you definitely need to hear it.
Where's the entirety? Where's this band from?
You know, I don't know where they're from. They're on Dust Tone Records, a smaller label.
What a weird name. Decadent.
They're from Slovenia.
Okay, that's Metal Days, right? You know?
This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth full-length album.
Slovenia. I can't think of any other bands from that area right at the top of my head. I think there's a lot of power metal stuff coming out from that area. Okay, I'm gonna go check this out. That was weird, and it was interesting because I've been griping about not liking anything new. That was interesting to me. I need to go listen to that some more. So yeah. Maybe I'm coming around finally to July.
Maybe you could. This album came out in June, but
okay, whatever. Yeah.
You'd be dancing to the Decadent Dance.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things
remember that.
Decadent dance. I know the Maniac dance from Stradivarius.
No, the Decadence dance. That's what it was.
Uh-uh.
Extreme.
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
It was like early 90s, late 80s. Can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to like them a lot because they were different. They were different.
They were definitely
glammy.
Different. Yeah.
They weren't really glam metal at all. They were just catchy. And the Nuno Bettencourt, phenomenal guitar player, still is.
Yeah. Yeah, the only album I ever had by them was Porno Graffiti.
Yeah. This album, I don't remember. I don't remember which song.
Right, yeah.
Porno Graffiti was like 2, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the one I listened to the most.
Yeah. That was a lot of weird stuff back then that I used to listen to a lot.
We've been planning to do this episode late 80s, early 90s. And we've talked to Larry Roberts from November's Doom about doing this episode. We just got to get it done. So we need to
schedule it far in the future, and so we can start have our notes set up, start slowly working on over time, because it's never going to be a spur of the moment thing.
No.
We just have to start long balling these things.
So we're actually going to do more
themed
episodes. We have one actually coming up soon.
Yep.
But we've always wanted to do that one. We're sort of like, okay, you take like early 90s thrash metal and how different some of these albums were, like Death Angel Act 3.
Yeah.
One of my favorite albums of all time, but not typical thrash metal, or Annihilator during that time. Or
even stuff that was bands that weren't considered thrash metal, but had songs that were kind of thrashy, you know, like... I don't know, just like heavy, or, you know, that was a weird time. So it requires careful exploration.
Yes, it does.
Like, we're going to have to plan this out. Because the first thing I was thinking about when we were talking about Extreme was like, yeah, I remember Saigon Kick the Lizard. I would listen to that album and like how heavy that record was in certain spots,
right?
You know? And everyone just knows that one song, but that album freaking ruled, and I listened to the hell out of it.
Right. People, just like the Extreme was a song, More Than Words.
Yeah.
You hear that fucking song in a grocery store now. You know what that song is about?
I thought it was a love song, right?
It's a love song about having your girl go down on you, because that's more than words. That's the only way to show that you love me. Listen, look at the lyrics.
I don't know if Nuno and Gary were approving of that message.
Come on.
All right. I'm sorry, Gary. Your lovely lyrics have been tainted by the MSR cast.
We're going to prove that. We're going to prove what the song's really about.
Okay. I'm sure that a lot of these things are true. I just don't want to believe them, you know? I like just a nice, simple love song, you know? I'm okay with that. I don't think that this next band we're going to be listening to writes love songs, not judging from the title of this one.
Do you know who Pounder is?
No.
Okay. I think you're really going to dig these guys. Pounder is a retro, new wave British heavy metal style band.
A lot of that going around.
I can't believe you don't know who these guys are.
I was just listening to this band today called like Dream Troll or something from the UK.
Dream Troll.
And I was like, that's okay. It's kind of annoying me, the guy's vocals. But it's in that same kind of new wave British heavy metal revival thing. All right, I'm interested. What's the deal with these guys?
The new album, well, the first full length is called Uncivilized. Ever heard of a guy named Alejandro Corridor?
No.
What about Tom Draper? He was in Carcass.
That name sounds familiar.
What about Matt Harvey?
Oh, okay.
Matt Harvey sings in this band and plays guitar.
He's okay. Well, that's interesting.
So,
singing, Matt Harvey.
He's able to have all these different style bands to get his different love of music out there.
Right.
You got Exhumed for like the gore metal. You have Gruesome for the love of early deaths and death metal. And then you have Pounder. So
I'm interested.
I'm gonna let you listen to it, and then we're gonna come back and talk about it more.
Right.
I really want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to say it. Fuck off and die.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You wrote down here classic cut.
Yeah.
That album was like, what, 2013?
No. This was like 2002, I think, for Stryker. Or 2000. It was pre-2010. I know that.
All right. Fine.
Okay,
that's classic enough.
The only reason I wanted to play Stryker was because, I saw them last year, or was it the year before last year? I think it was last year, for opening for Unleash the Archers. And it was such a revelation to see that band live. I'd always, I had been a fan for a long time. That was my first time getting to see them. They're so good live. Like, they're so active and just engaging and very charismatic live. I'm going to see them tomorrow. And, they're playing a show opening for Holy Grail, who I'm kind of ambivalent on, but, go there tomorrow, give them a chance. I'm so excited to see them again, because I thought like, oh, I felt so lucky to see them. I didn't think they would be back this soon. And a friend of mine who I was raving to them about, he missed the show last time. He was like out of town or something. So he's going to go see them tomorrow.
Where are they playing at?
White Oak.
Okay.
Upstairs. So it's going to be a tiny show. I'm not expecting there to be much of a crowd, you know, like Tuesday night. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm pumped up for it. Because they were just one of those summer bands where it's like if you were at a barbecue, that's the band you'd want to have on the background, you know? Just kind of like wild, loose metal, rock and roll, you know, that kind of thing, hard rock.
They had a new album last year, right?
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It wasn't my favorite one of theirs. This album, this one came off of Armed to the Teeth, I still think is their best one. Definitely their most aggressive album. They've gotten more hard rocky and glammy since then.
Yeah.
Very glammy.
This album sort of, I think it reminds me of old Armored Saint.
Yeah.
Even the vocal at the time had a John Bush quality to his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Without having the harshness of John Bush's voice. But right. The same inflections and the cadence sometimes.
Yeah.
Is pretty close to him.
Yeah. Great vocals. Love the vocals.
Yeah. So what'd you think of Pounder?
Well, you know, when he started singing, I was just like, oh, I was freaking out trying to figure out what the vocals sounded like. Obviously, Lemmy, because I think that's who he's trying to sound like. It was something
he
else.
He definitely
like,
did have a Lemmy-esque quality yeah. to his voice.
There was something else I still can't identify what it is, but it was an interesting vocal from him. I thought it was interesting. It was more. It wasn't as aggressive as I thought it was going to be.
From a very catchy album. Towards the end, there's a part. There's that one part where it sort of slows down a little bit, and there's that whoa part.
Yeah.
With the Iron Maiden sing along time. It's fun, man.
Yeah.
It's a fun album. It really is.
Yeah. I mean,
it's LA, you know, Los Angeles, new wave of British heavy metal meets Motorhead meets.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
I think those two bands go pretty well together on that set there.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Complimentary. I think that, you know, the lyrics in the Pounder song, I'm like, all right, I guess. Like, I don't think that's ever something I would want to hear by myself. Like, listening by myself, like, this is, I'm going to get anything out of it. Sometimes, in the case of Stryker, I think sometimes it's okay for music just to be that perfect fit for, like, hey, I'm having a bunch of friends over, we're drinking beer, this is on in the background. And I think that's kind of one of those things for me, at least my perspective on it, you know? Like not everything is just like a thing where you're going to listen to intensely by yourself.
Yeah.
And try to
explore. Not everything has to be that, though.
It doesn't have to be that way, and that's fine. Yeah.
It's just good fucking fun music.
Fun music. Fun metal. And there's nothing wrong with fun metal, people.
That's right. That's very true. So who is Idle Hand?
Well, you know what? It's weird because I kind of feel like we as a show are late to this band because of the amount of hype they're getting. And I sometimes bring up hype in the show and it makes it sound negative. I don't think it's negative. There's a lot of enthusiasm about this band coming from different places that surprise me. And don't be surprised if you see this album, Idle Hands Mana, end up on a bunch of year-end lists because I think it's going to be up there. I didn't like it the first time I heard it. I was just like, what the hell am I listening to? It's kind of like goth, metal-y, very Sisters of Mercy influenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like what newer Tribulation also, but a little less harsh at times.
Yeah, totally.
But I gotta say, this singer, Gabriel Franco, I think his name is, man, I really like his vocals as far as like him being a pure kind of gothic metal singer.
It's his band, right? It's like his project.
It's his thing. Like he said, I remember reading an interview with him where he was in some other band and he just was frustrated not being able to get his stuff out. So he did this band instead. I'm surprised by how great the songwriting is at times. It's really sharp. The song we're going to play is Give Me to the Night. It's like the kind of direct metal rocking cut, but my favorite song is a song I think it plays after this one. It's Jackie, I think that's the name of the song. It's like super catchy, super addictive. That's my favorite song in the album, but this is my second favorite.
Why didn't we play your favorite song on the album?
Because that's so, it's so poppy and so saccharine. I think that it's not really representative of the complete sound of the album. And this song's more representative.
That makes sense.
Here's the thing that bothers me about this record, though. The reason why I don't consider it's a great record. He has this annoying vocal tick where he just kind of like starts, he just random times throughout the album, he'll erupt in like a grunt or like a, like some sort of exaggerated yell or shout in the middle of a perfectly fine vocal line at the end of it. He'll sing perfect vocal line, great singing, great melody. And then he'll erupt in this grunt. And you're just kind of like, that's weird. Like one or two times throughout the record, you're kind of like, that's cool. That's cool. Like a little punchiness, you know, kind of like a Hetfieldism.
I was about to say like James Hetfield, right?
When you do it like 30 times throughout the record, it gets, it grates on you. It grates on you. And I think the one criticism I've seen echoed throughout various, you know, things I read online about this album is how people are annoyed at him for doing that. And it's like, I hope he reads a little bit of that criticism, takes it to heart. And the next time he comes out with a new record, really scales that back, or someone in the studio is aware of that criticism and is like, dude, you're a great singer. You have a really cool voice. It's really unique for the time right now. No one really sounds like you. Don't ruin it.
He was in Spellcaster.
Spellcaster, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're from Oregon, right? Yeah. Portland, yeah.
Portland, Oregon.
Don't ruin your vocal lines. Don't ruin like a really good song with like these kind of weird outbursts of vocal aggression that don't really add anything to the musicality of the song. Like if you're angry, we get it. You're angry, but like, you know, I don't know. You have to listen to the album to see what I'm talking about. But when you listen to the album, and if you like the songs, you'll notice that weird vocal tick he does. And it's very freaking frustrating, but not enough to overwhelm the album to where I'm not going to listen to it. I'll still listen to this record. And it's grown on me over time. And I really, really, really love the record. So, yeah. Not everything can be perfect, I guess. Can't have nice things.
We can try to have nice things, but Idle Hands is going to fuck it up.
Yeah. Mr. Franco, calm down. Just
So, I've never heard this before. Let's get into Give Me to the Night. From Idle Hands. This is from the album called Mana.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Cause you don't see what I see. It's the devil in my mind.
Welcome back to MSRcast 222. That was Silent Lucidity by Queensryche.
Was not. Definitely not.
That was Lucidity with Unveiled off the new album Oceanum.
Oceanum?
Oceanum.
I discovered these guys recently, and I freaking love this band. I love the guitar tone. I love everything about them. Guess where they're from?
Finland?
You would be correct.
What were we talking about? Because we were listening to them before the show.
Yep.
What was the bands we were referencing? A combination.
Oh, definitely Opethian.
Opeth with like Borknagar vocals, clean vocals.
I freaking dig these guys a lot. And there's this one riff in that song. It's a slow doomy riff.
Yeah,
I know. They bring back and it's just so good. This whole album is really good.
I was surprised. It was good. Yeah, I like the lead playing too. Very
yes.
Not Swallow the Sun. That's the wrong band, but
I can definitely hear that in them.
It's definitely just like that kind of sugary melodic lead point. It's like, oh, nice melody over the top that you can kind of get hooked on. There's a lot there that the lot that's accessible, even like in the heavy riffs and stuff. So yeah, complex but accessible, which is hard to do. Yeah, I was impressed. Another whole album I'm gonna have to go check out now. This was like a Spotify thing you stumbled on?
Yeah, totally.
I've been striking out in Spotify lately. I guess I've just been going down the wrong rabbit holes, though.
You mentioned Swallow the Sun. I can definitely hear that it's that slow, melodic, death, doom aspect that they do.
Yeah.
Do you remember the band Hanging Garden from Finland?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sound like that a lot, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm thoroughly impressed, completely.
Yeah. Is this a new band?
The second album?
It's relatively new, yeah.
Let's see. Their first album came out 2015. And their first demo was in 2005. They've been around a little bit.
Damn.
Didn't really make it for a while.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's always weird to me whenever you see a band's demo like 10 years before the debut. Right? You're like, what happened?
It took you guys so long, you know? It happens.
So what did you think of Idle Hands?
It's okay. I can see where they're going. I like the brightness of the guitar tone. I like what they're doing. We made a couple of comparisons while we're talking about it, while we're listening to it, actually. The Cult, early Cult.
Yeah.
So definitely a little bit of Ian Astbury. And I didn't hear it until you said it, but you said his vocal qualities has a little bit of aspect of Peter Steele.
Yeah.
And his high clean stuff.
Yeah.
And I totally hear that. But there's something about this guy's vocals I'm not quite digging.
They're very, I think it's a little too flattering to say they're mysterious, but there's like this kind of distance there that makes them appealing in a way where it's like, sometimes when a guy doesn't emote that much, and I think for the most part he's got this tone he's sustaining throughout. Mm. He's not emoting like you would have like a Yorn Landay or something. So it's very like, you know, it's very like careening forward in a straight line. But he does enough to make it very interesting. You're like, I wonder. It makes you pay attention to the lyrics more, I think, to me.
I'll give the album a shot. I don't know if it's something I'm going to go back to, though.
I do think it's worth checking out again, because I will say, honestly, the first few times I heard this, I was just like, I don't get the hype, guys. Because I just heard all these people whose opinions I'm starting to trust a lot more in my
except kind of one.
Recommendation sphere. And I'm like, everyone was saying, oh, this is great. Even friends of ours, like Matt Ryan.
He's come to me about him. I'm like,
and,
okay.
You know.
When I listened to it first. I'm
right.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And so it took me a while to crack into it, but now I'm like, okay, I get it. When someone said, like, you know, they're like more accessible Tribulation, I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, that's an interesting comparison.
They definitely have a lot of 80s goth rock influence. Like you said, Sister of the Mercy, and you could say The Cure, maybe. You could, if you're a fan of any of that kind of early 80s goth rock,
yeah,
you'd definitely find something to like here.
And maybe,
even if you're a fan of the Cult.
And you know, we
played that style too.
Especially early Cult,
yes.
Like post-punk Cult. Like we played Give Me to the Night, which is a very aggressive song on the album. Maybe we should have played Jackie, because that's such a radio-friendly song. It's got such an amazing hook to it. But I think this is better, because you can get more of the abrasiveness in this guy. And you get a little bit of that grunt I was complaining about too.
I heard it.
Yeah.
A little weird.
Yeah. A little goes a long way with that guy.
Yeah. It's all right, though. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Are we at the end of this episode?
We are at the end of this episode. Right. Almost. We have one more band to play. That's about to say. So what are you looking forward to the rest of the year?
Well, so Friday is Sabaton. I know they've released some more songs. I have avoided listening to them.
I've heard the album a few times.
I just want to go into the album fresh on Friday, just listen to it completely, and...
Can I say something?
Dive into it. What's that?
Meh.
Well, I felt super meh about the last one, so they can only go up from here. I mean, you know?
You would hope and you would think, but yeah. I'm not... I'm not, I hate to say it like this, but I'm not really on board with this album. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's just okay. It's serviceable. When you get into a band for so long and their early stuff was so good.
Right.
It's hard for them to keep that momentum.
There is a part.
Even with the guy from
Rainseed.
Majestica now.
Majestica, right.
Who I absolutely adore that album now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm interested in is like his influence in the band, you know?
Nah, I don't really hear a lot of it.
Well, I know that because Joakim does most of the songwriting, you know, and he's a keyboardist, so he will. That's why it's so melody driven.
I was listening to it. You know, my biggest complaint on the album, it's the layered vocals on this album sound wonky. They don't sound when Joakim is singing by himself. It's great. The songs are pretty much the same. You know, everything that style is there, but. There's something to do. Maybe is he singing with the guy from Majestica?
I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye out for that, an ear out for that.
I've listened to it a few times now, and that's the part that's bugging me the most. It's that, you know, the dual vocal, the gang vocal style that they do. It's not hitting on this album for me. And it just takes me out of it a little bit. It sounds weird and wonky.
I wonder if that's a stylistic choice they made on purpose or that's like a production defect, like a mixing defect.
I don't know. I will let you listen to it.
Yeah.
If you want to.
I, you know, it's weird because like on Carolus Rex, you know, the amplified use of the choirs made that album stand up compared to everything else they did. And so that was like a real purposeful change they made and they backed off on it later on the later albums. So it might be something conceptual, thematic, because I know the album's like a thematic World War One thing. I don't know. I'm interested. Joakim Broden's...
Wait. They wrote an album about war?
Well, but, you know, like I always get the feeling that, I mean, especially not in the last two albums, but they do have this idea that, like, that they could sometimes bring in, like, do something different for the entire album. Like, Art of War was just very cutting and tight. Like, Aetero Dominatus, I thought was like their quote-unquote thrashiest, even though that's not really thrashy, influenced album. So I don't know. I think there is room for Sabaton to expand their sound. They're always going to sound like them, though, because as long as he's writing the songs, that's what they're going to sound like, love it or hate it, really.
And they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
They're going to be one of those – we talked about it before. Who is that top tier in the current metal scene – that's going to take place of Iron Maiden, Metallica's, and all that. This is one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been to enough of their shows to see the audience. There's little kids who are pumped up about this band and seeing them live.
We can be elitist about it. We could be, you know, what's the term I'm looking for?
Jaded?
Well, we were there from the beginning almost.
Oh, right.
We were there when they were playing for 30 people at one time.
That's true.
And then now they're playing for...
I'm
so many people.
I'm really happy about their success, you know. I know that not every album they're going to hit on is going to be great, though.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I mean, I really can point to two albums being great. Carolus Rex and Art of War, I think, are great, legitimately great. Everything else is kind of like, oh, those are good songs, and those are not so good songs, you know. So I'm looking forward to it.
Charlie, somebody covered Carolus Rex, and I can't remember who it was. It was a totally different band.
Van Canto, and they covered Primo Victoria.
No, yeah. But he was singing on it, too.
Van Canto was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Just a professional nightmare.
But you don't have to bring a lot of equipment with you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a couple mics and plug into an amp, you're good.
The only thing more ridiculous than Van Canto now is Windrose. It's just like, oh.
Wait, what is that?
You know, Diggy Diggy Hole and the whole dwarf metal thing now.
No.
I'll tell you about it later. We got to play Diabolical. They're coming to Houston. They're going to be opening for.
I saw that. I saw their name. I don't know who they were though.
For Bum Bum, whoever's playing at White Oak in a couple months.
Bum Bum.
No, for.
I don't know that band.
Arcona, I think.
That's what it was. Arcona.
I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to go to that show or not. I don't know if I can handle an audience singing "Diggy Diggy Hole."
What are you talking about?
Oh, It's a video you should see, I guess.
Okay, maybe. Well, maybe we'll check it out. All right. Diabolic. Well, before we get into Diabolical, let's let people know where they can get a hold of us. So first of all, go to our website at MSRcast.com or MetalGeeks.net, where you're going to find both of our shows, of course, MSRcast and Metal Geeks. And I just realized, trying to remember how long I've been doing MSRcast. It's been 2005?
Yep, sounds about
right. Something like that. Yeah, so it's been a long time. Of course, you can find us all over the internet, on social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitters, all that good stuff. And you can find us on iTunes, subscribe to us there. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify as well. So when you're discovering new albums and you want to hear something new and try to find something new to jam out to, look us up on there too.
Yeah, and send us recommendations if you've heard something that you're into.
True.
Because we want this to be interactive.
If you have a band you want us to play.
Yeah.
If you're in a band that you want us to play,
yeah,
we will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also particularly interested right now in learning about where you hear the most about the show. Like, if you get updates on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, like, wherever you hear it, or if it's just, like, something that appears in your podcast app, like, oh, new episode by these guys. Okay,
how long have you been listening?
Yeah, like...
Have you been listening longer than Sean?
Tell us deets.
We want
all the details.
MSRcast@gmail.com or reach out to us. MSRcast on any of the social media, or you can reach out to the Metal Pigeon at
the Metal Pigeon on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook sometimes. Yep. So, yeah.
So, you want to talk about the last band?
Yeah.
Diabolical. This is not the band Diabolic, which confused me at first. This is from their brand new album called Eclipse, which just came out earlier this year, February.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of telling you, man, this is...
You're into this.
I'm really into this.
I heard... when you guys were talking about it, we were talking about the group chat, and we were talking about this album. I went and listened to it, and I think I picked on the wrong song. I was like, oh, that's okay. But, you know, weirdly enough, when we were playing it just before the show, I was like, oh, that's not that bad. I mean, that's not as bad. I guess I was in a bad mood that day or
maybe
something.
So, yeah, Eclipse. How would you describe them? I mean, the album, Diabolical, is a band, of course.
I don't know. I don't know what band I would compare them to. I found Dave's, Red Viking Dave's, his negative comments towards them very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He was very critical, and I was just, wow, that's like, I don't hear that guy dish out criticism right away. So we've got some conflict on this album, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and Justin as well, I can see the first song is We Are Diabolical, and they repeat that line a lot.
Okay, yeah, that's what we're...
But I'll overlook that this time, because I really like their style. It's... Death and black metal, there's some doom elements in it, Bortnagar elements into it.
Yeah, I was thinking death.
Very progressive.
Black and death metal, but not in the sense that you think about black and death metal.
Yeah. It's my new favorite style, basically. And these are guys, they're not from Finland, they're Swedish.
That makes a change.
Yeah, a little bit. They've been around, since 1998.
Wow.
This is their fifth full-length album. This is the only album I've heard, so I need to go back into their past albums and really check them out. But I really highly recommend this band. Really digging them. Diabolical. Of course, the album is called Eclipse, and the song we're going to get into is called Betrayal, which is the second song on the album.
All right.
Let's... Anything else you want to say about them?
I think we should just keep it metal, for starters.
And for enders, too.
We should keep it metal.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.